Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny here?
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Honeymooners Podcast, episode number one. I am Joe Conti, and I got my pal Louis Fats.
That's me right here.
That's Louis right there. And this is our first episode of the Honeymooners Podcast, a podcast that has never been done before. It is, we are two super duper Uber fans who, and we'll explain why we got into this, but we decided, let's do a podcast where all we talk about is nothing but the original 39 episodes of the greatest show ever.
Correct.
The greatest show ever.
Exactly.
Yes.
Nothing tops it.
There are some that you can argue and say when it comes to sitcoms. And look, there are some, like, I know you're a huge fan of The Odd Couple.
Odd Couple.
I love The Odd Couple. I love All in the Family. I mean, I love, there's those top five and six that we all pretty much agree are the greatest sitcoms of all time.
Definitely.
Honeymooners are always there. I Love Lucy.
Yes.
Odd Couple. The Honeymooners. Then you got that, to me, Cheers is right there. Seinfeld's always right there.
That more modern day sitcom as opposed to like that back in that 50s, 60s type.
Yeah, thing. Especially the when, you know, sitcoms were really starting to come around. And almost every, it was almost seemed like every episode of these older shows did something groundbreaking without realizing it. Because it was such a new, television was new.
The television was new. The shows were new. Nobody really had an idea of what was going on.
Right.
So they just put it out there. It was funny. And that was it.
Yeah.
And then it's history. It's all history. God, you just can't beat it.
No.
You cannot beat The Honeymooners.
No, you just can't. And that's why we said, you know what? We can do a podcast about a show that is 60-something years old, and there's only 39 episodes of it.
Exactly. Now, Joe, I grew up in the late 50s. Actually, born in the late 50s. Grew up basically in the 60s. And remembering from a kid growing up in the New York area, in northern New Jersey, the show was always on in reruns. Was always on in reruns. And I didn't start getting into it till basically I was in college years, like would be like the mid to late 70s. And then that just carried on.
And did
right into the 80s. And then WPIX, which is Channel 11 in the New York area, ran, to me, the greatest hour ever. The Odd Couple at 11, followed by The Honeymooners at 11:30. Television.
Monday through Friday.
You cannot top that hour of television.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a... And I got, I got reminded.
Always catch a cold working on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, and you'll hear a lot of that. That's part of why we decided to do this. And it's just like all Honeymooners fans, they all tend to throw a line in from the show into what is happening at the moment.
Yes.
Whether it's, like you walked into the studio for the first time and you mentioned, because there's a giant table here, and you mentioned it like we're at the pool.
Yeah. Game of pool, arcade? Yeah.
A little game of pool, arcade? So, and that's what's, and to me, that's what makes this show so great.
Right.
All right. First of all, we know why we want to do this show. We're huge fans, and we figure with the fans that are out there, they would be, it would almost be like them hanging out with us, doing what we all do when we get together and talk about these shows.
Exactly.
We talk about a scene, or we talk about this character, or this moment. Mm-hmm. What happened here? Did you ever see when Audrey Meadows was doing this while Gleason was talking? All of that.
Right, right.
And now we want to bring those moments to you, just like you do with your friends.
Exactly, because you have this show where it's the characters and the lines. Quotable lines, memorable lines. You just don't forget them. And a lot of stuff happened in that little room.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Most of it happened in the one apartment.
The one apartment.
One scene. Three walls,
yeah.
There's four walls. There's three walls, a table, a sink, a refrigerator.
And the dresser.
The bureau,
yeah.
Where anything they ever needed at that moment in an episode
was in the top drawer.
Always in the top drawer.
That's in that top pan, left-hand drawer.
Yeah. They had a hammer. They had a hammer in the top drawer.
Go to the drawer, open it up, and there's the hammer.
Who leaves a hammer in a bureau? They did. That's what they did.
That's what they did. And that's basically television also in its infancy.
Yes.
Where people really didn't, I don't want to say they didn't think, but they accepted things like that without thought to it. Like,
right.
You know, that's just part of the thing. It was part of the comedy, and that was it.
They weren't
questioning as today would be. Like
And I think because everything is more under the microscope today.
Yeah.
You can take something that you just saw and actually rewind it while you're watching it.
Yes.
And sit there and look and say, well, what happened here? Why did that happen?
Right.
Where they were all pretty much like, hey, listen, we're going to just play this and we're probably never going to play it again. They weren't thinking of reruns even at that point.
Exactly. And then again, too, I believe they call it standalone episodes where they really weren't related to the next one. They were standalone. And what happened in that, you know, you see characters changing, you see people walking in and out, same person,
right,
with a different name. I mean, like Freddie Muller, Joe Rumsey, or Joe Muncy, whatever you wanted to go call him in that episode.
Yeah.
Same guy. Bus driver. Like, why would you change from Freddie Muller to Joe Rumsey when he's still a bus driver? It's the same guy.
Because like you said, they weren't thinking further back. They were just thinking, hey, people are going to see this once. They're going to love it. And then they're going to go to the next one.
Yeah.
I don't think they thought 60 years later, two idiots in Clifton, New Jersey, were going to be doing a podcast deciphering every moment of this show. It's so idiotic. But it is... And I think also, first of all, what makes the show great? We can get into what makes the show great. But what makes the show so great, from what you said, how it's so quotable and all that, is the fact, and this is not a dig at the show at all, there was only 39 episodes.
Yes.
Here's my thing. If there was 5 years worth where there was 120 episodes, we wouldn't know every episode as much as we do.
No, you wouldn't. We wouldn't.
We would still love the show. As much as we love it, it takes that much more time to watch every one.
Yes, yes. And then it would suffer like some shows have suffered by being on too long.
Yes.
Like the MASH, something like MASH or something like that. It just went on too long.
Yes.
And you basically forgot the beginning episodes that were the best.
Right.
So the 39, it was like perfect. It's like baseball, 90 feet bases. You know, it's just the perfect game and... That was the perfect show.
Yeah, it really was.
You know.
Because you can take the idea that there was four main characters, three if you really think about it. And I used to be a lunatic with Joyce Randolph. I'll get into with my friend Otto, who was a big reason how I became a huge, huge fan. I used to get so angry when she was on screen because I'm like, she's sucking the comedy out of it. But I've mellowed in my older years.
She was even bad off screen.
Was she?
When you had like her voice.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, Alice, you're on the phone. Right. Okay.
Right.
Like, horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yes.
And that one line.
But she was great for what she did.
Yes.
Because I've mellowed. I'm not as angry. And I look at her, and she's had a couple of really great lines that they gave her.
Yes.
You know, chivalry is dead. I know who killed him.
Yep.
But I'm okay with that.
Yep.
But you have the four main characters. And I think, this is not me coming up with this. This is just known that the character of Ed Norton is the basis of every wacky neighbor, weird, secondary, hilarious secondary character ever.
Yes.
They say 100%, I'm not a huge Seinfeld fan, but they said Kramer is directly from Ed Norton.
Yeah. And even the cartoon character, Yogi Bear, is Ed Norton.
I didn't realize that. I mean, now I look at the hat.
The hat, the mannerisms, the talk.
Wow.
It's Ed Norton.
I just think Yogi Bear was the first rapper because he always spoke in rhymes. I didn't realize that.
If you listen to him, like you said, with the hat, and you listen to the way he speaks, it's Ed Norton.
And that's the guy who did Yogi Bear was He did. He's the same guy that did Scooby-Doo. I can't think of his name. Okay, yeah. But I did not realize that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Like we always say, the Flintstones are the Honeymooners in cartoon form.
And that's why I was a huge fan of the early episodes of the Flintstones.
Oh, I love the Flintstones.
You know, I was one of those fans of the Flintstones. I wasn't a fan because I liked the bird being the record player or the elephant being the watering thing. I loved the fact that, and it's obvious because it was a direct thing from the Honeymooners.
And you got to remember too, it's not that far removed from the Honeymooners. From figuring the Honeymooners are in 54, 55, 56, and you're talking early 60s for the Flintstones.
1960, first episode.
There you go.
So you're talking
four years removed from the show, you know.
And they also did say that Gleason was going to sue Hanna-Barbera because it was such.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
Didn't
and
know
his that. Management said, you shouldn't sue them. Because you don't want to be known as the guy who killed Fred Flintstone.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't do it. But that's
it would have been more like a brontosaurus burger. But.
Yes. But obviously, it makes sense. I mean, he's the big overbearing husband, the redheaded wife, the wacky neighbor, and his wife, obviously.
You know, Barney Rubble's got the laugh. Norton
It's right on.
Although Betty was 10 times better than. Oh,
God, don't even get me started. I'm okay with Joyce Randolph. And I've heard so many sweet things. Like, she's still with us. I think she's 94,
something
95.
Like,
And people see her in Manhattan all the time. There's a diner that she goes to, and people will come to her. And she's still as sweet as pie, so I'm not trashing Joyce Randolph.
That's great.
She's great. I just... in my younger, almost steroid, days of my late 20s, early 30s, I got a little angry.
A little roid rage going.
Almost roid rage. I never quite did steroids, but I was close. But yeah, so that is basically why we're doing this. And we know why it's the best show. And I'll just tell you how I got into the show. I remember first seeing it. I remember watching Abbott and Costello with my dad on Saturdays. He would watch that. The thing that I remember is my dad and my uncle, when I was younger, my uncle used to always say, how sweet it is.
There you go.
So that was my first incarnation of what was going to be Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners. And I started watching them, obviously, in reruns. This was in the late 80s. And it was Channel 11 PIX, New York, a local station. And it was, and I remember watching it, it used to be 11 o'clock Honeymooners, 11:30 Star Trek for a long time. And that's when I used to watch Star Trek only because I was watching the Honeymooners. Or it might have been first. I might have caught Star Trek and then the Honeymooners.
Right.
Maybe that's why I was watching Star Trek. And then I just started getting into it more, and then the New Year's Eve thing would happen. And the New Year's Eve starting at 12, and it would go to 5 p.m. New Year's Day every single year. And I think that's where most fans got reacquainted, so to speak, with the show. Yeah. New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Everybody knows.
The marathon.
Everybody knows.
Honeymooners marathon.
New Year's Eve. Who cares about New Year's Eve? Because nobody wants. It's what they call. All alcoholics always say it's amateur night.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Right.
We stay home. You stay home and you watch the Honeymooners.
And I remember taping that on my VCR, setting my alarm clock to get up in the morning to change the tape
to record it.
So I wouldn't miss anything.
Yes. I recorded it in 1999. I was living with a bunch of friends of my roommates, I remember recording a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And then what happened, I was the middle of the road fan. Like, I loved the show and I would watch it, but I didn't know every single episode. Like, the way I call it DEFCON 3.
Right.
These fans, you know, we're at DEFCON 3. There's only three DEFCONs. DEFCON 0, if you're not a fan, and my wife is not a fan of the show. I don't even know why I married this woman, all right? She doesn't watch the show, but she does love Odd Couple, so I give her credit for that. And my wife loves toilet humor, so I'll give her that. But you have DEFCON 1. These are people who, they know the show, obviously, and they might have seen episodes, and they kind of think, yes, that's such a funny show, Bang Zoom, and To the Moon, and Hello Ball, and they know, like, a couple of the iconic moments.
Yeah, like, we weren't watching it to hear him say Bang Zoom.
Right.
To me, that didn't even exist.
No.
I'm beyond that.
That's DEFCON 1.
Yes.
DEFCON 2 are people that really got into the show and they were like, this is really cool. I really enjoy the show. I must have seen every episode. They probably don't even know that there's 39, but they've seen every episode. Yeah. They don't know it by heart, but they're like, this is a great show. I love Gleason. They get it.
Yes.
Then there's DEFCON 3, and that is the Lunatics. The Lunatics that are on Facebook. I am part of a couple of Facebook honeymooners pages. These people are insane, okay? Just like we are.
Right.
They know every single line of every episode, every quote of amount, $12.31. I think it's $12.31.
Right.
And all of that, $62 a week is how much he makes. You can ask them how much does Ralph make per week, and they're going to know it's $62 a week.
Yeah.
And they know every single episode, every word of every episode. That's where we are. And I think we're going to get DEFCON 1s, 2s, and 3s.
Right.
I think so. Because people who just like the show are going to be like, we got to check this out.
Yeah, sure.
It's a different type of a podcast.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, and there are so many different types of podcasts out there that are very specific to something, whether it's a podcast about your computer, a crime story podcast. There are some really great ones out there. There's never been one about a show that has been off the air for 65 years. It's insanity. It really is.
It is. Now, I'm 62 years old, so at least I know that this is actually older than me.
Yes.
So, it's like fits in perfectly with the kind of comedy that you like. Now, it's a lot of, I don't know what kind of, you were probably better, Joe, to like classify this as a comedy. What kind of comedy is it? It's not obviously not a slapstick. It's not jokes. It's just... You call like a.
I don't know if there's a demographic for it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, what do you call it? It's just.
You know what it is? It's just perfect.
It's perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's like, just
don't
perfect.
Categorize. We don't have to categorize.
Don't have to categorize.
We don't need to do that. We don't have to go that way.
And it's not. And like I said, there are those other ones that we all know. They're always in the top 10 of everybody's list. Mm-hmm. But for us, and I think most people who love old comedies, this is the best.
Yeah. It's them.
He was the greatest.
He was the greatest.
And this was and is the greatest show of all time.
Calling him the great one.
Yeah.
Who he was actually influenced, he said he was influenced by Oliver Hardy.
Okay.
And if you see some of the things that the Ralph Crayon, the character, does, the mannerisms, and you see they were taken from Oliver Hardy.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. And you could probably say... Lauren Hardy influenced so many other of that comedy duo types.
Yes, right.
And it just seems that, you know, there is the bigger, more bigger in life and also personality wise, boasting kind of guy, and then the smart aleck,
right?
Which is what the Honeymooners is, obviously. Yeah. It's also what. I don't know if the Abbott Costello falls in that same thing. They were a little bit different.
Yeah, a little different.
Because it was more of sketches.
It was, it was a straight guy. Bringing like a vaudevillian sketch to TV.
To TV,
basically what it can, with an excuse behind it.
Yes.
You know, just to throw everything together, which is also one of my favorite shows.
Bud Abbott, best straight man of all
without
time.
Without a doubt.
The best straight man of all time.
Without a doubt.
Get any...
I would
never argue with it.
People say George Burns, I would... Say sorry.
No.
Sorry, Bud Abbott.
Nope. Bud Abbott was the best.
Unbelievable.
And he was so great that he made Lou Costello even funnier.
Yes. And also physical.
Yes.
Because they were also a physical team.
Yes.
It was physical comedy.
It's almost like a combo between the Stooges and the Marx Brothers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it had physical slapstick, but it also had clever lines and play on words and stuff like
that. Laurel and Hardy.
Right.
Again, Laurel and Hardy.
Yep.
You know.
And then you get Cramden. And Norton.
Norton.
Gleason and Carney. However you want
to. Even and he got physical. He would hit him, punch him, or, you know, and then we've talked about this many times, how he is like the greatest friend of all time. Ed Norton is the greatest friend of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Because Ralph, how many episodes Ralph tried to get actually over on him?
Like, right.
How are you trying to get over on Ed Norton? Like and he's like backed you every time.
There were points where Cramden wasn't that good of a friend.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
He was kind of a jerk.
Like, I got $20 off and invested in the Ralph Cramden Corporation.
But that,
35% belongs to the stockholders.
But, and that's where it's almost like how the Archie Bunker character, although he would say bigoted things and be ignorant, he really wasn't that. He was just, he didn't know. He was ignorant.
Exactly.
So and that's why where Gleason would be or Cramden would be mean and yell at him and tell him to get out, but he loved him.
Loved him.
Same with Alice. Yep. And that was, it was very simple. It was to the point. He wanted to make his life better for him and his wife.
Yeah.
And he had his friend, and sometimes he would say things basically, threatening her with physical violence, so to speak, which would not go over well today as much.
But if you look at that, Alice never looks threatened.
Never.
She just stands there like, okay, Ralph, are you done?
Never.
Never looks threatened.
Right. Which is what abuse actually is.
Yes, because anybody else would have been running into that bedroom, you know.
Right.
But she stood there, okay, run out of your big windbags blowing, you know, why don't you blow away?
Right.
You know,
because she
like
knew.
That. She knew Ralph he would loved, never.
Right. And never. That's what makes the show great. That really is. Like, we were trying to figure it out a couple minutes ago. Like, what do you need? I think that's basically all-encompassing. It's the guy who loved his wife and he loved his best friend, but he would do things and say things trying to be better friend and a better husband, but he would sometimes go off.
Well,
he always came back in the 22 minutes.
He would explode and kind of like that irrational behavior comes from that explosion.
Yes.
And they were annoyed, but just let him calm down. He'll be fine. He'll be dear old Ralph Cramden when he's done with it, you know.
Right. So, I started getting into the show.
Okay.
And I was like DEFCON 2 type of fan.
Right.
And then in 2014, I lost a dear friend of mine. I'm a stand-up comedian who anybody doesn't know. And a good friend of mine who was a legendary ventriloquist act named Otto and George. And he was Otto Peterson. Otto, oddly enough, was the name of the guy, not the name of the puppet. Everybody thought it was the other way around. And he unexpectedly passed away at the age of 53. And it was my first big loss in my life. I still had both of my parents at the time. I didn't really know my grandparents, and so it hurt me. It was a real, really, really tough time. And for some reason, I dove into a really dark place but it was a light place because I dove into the Honeymooners, because me and him would always talk about the Honeymooners
like the way, Hemrod Street,
the way me and you would talk. He was my other person. I had two people in my life that I could just go and mention any Honeymooners line, and we would go back and forth. You and Otto. And when I lost Otto, I don't know what it was. Well, I didn't know it as much. But we knew enough, and we would go back and forth, and that's when I dove so deep into the Honeymooners, where I was watching 7 to 10 episodes a week. I would have it a DVR, and it would always come on Channel 11.
Yes.
So whenever I would just put my DVR on, and it'd be 10 episodes, and I would just be in the afternoon, and because I'm a comic and I work part time, and I would just start watching. And since 2014 to now, in 5 years, I have become such a huge fan that I know every single line. I'm at a point now where when somebody's on the episode talking, I'm looking at the other characters, and we're going to get into that on a later episode.
Later day, we will. Like, you know.
But that's how I got into it. Now, you said that you started watching it in college.
When I was in college, late 70s, and then my friends, actually not my college friends, just the guys I grew up with in the neighborhood, and they started watching it, and we just started talking about it.
Now, we both grew up in New Jersey.
Yes. I grew up in Newark.
Right. I grew up in the tough streets of Parsippany, New Jersey. Yes. Yeah, where, somebody stole my candy, and it was my dad on Halloween, and he said, because you're going to get diabetes. So, not really a tough place.
So we were just watching it and talking about it. And then, as you say, we talked. As you talk, you got past the bang zoom to the moon stuff, and right. then we started getting lines. And it's such a, like I said before, it's a quotable show. The lines, yes. and they, oh my God, you could just everything that happens in your course of your day, there's a honeymooner line for it.
Yes.
And like me and Joe, we've worked together also, and we did it during our day, during our work day. Something would happen, and a good friend of ours, Gil Gibbs, who worked with us,
yes.
was also a honeymooner nut, which I actually got me going more so.
Right.
Knowing that I had to start working next to this guy, and then all of a sudden he blurts out a honeymooner line. I'm not knowing that he's a honeymooner fan, I'm a honeymooner. All of a sudden he just blurted out this line.
Yeah. And it's like your workout partner. Now yeah, he's got, I got a bench 210 now. This guy's benching 225.
Yeah. And he blurts out a line, and I followed it up with another line. All of a sudden, boom, that was it. And it was every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
It's like.
And that kind of brought us to this point.
Yes.
Where, see, now you're retired.
Yes.
You retire. And Lou is a very young-looking retiree. I'll tell you that right now. Clean living right there. Good, clean fun.
Good, clean fun.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Of course. And so it brought us to this where we would get together every once in a while, and we just sit down, we're having coffee, and we're just talking about the show. But we're not just saying, yeah, that was a good episode. I like that one. We started getting into these deep conversations
yes.
about the episode, about characters and names and names of people that you've only heard their names, you never saw them,
or maybe
you saw them once.
One time.
Maybe once. Yeah. The different locations, you know, the Chinese restaurant. All the different places. And we were just, and I was like, dude, why don't we do a podcast? A short form podcast, less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It could be a 15 minute episode. Yeah. We're at 26 minutes right now.
Right. We didn't even realize we were going to go this far.
We didn't even realize. I was like,
what are we going to talk about today? And all of a sudden, it just got to this point.
This is what we do. So we said, you know what? Let's do a podcast about the greatest show of all time, and we'll see how it goes. And I think this is the perfect way to start it.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we're going to throw in some trivia.
Yeah. We'll also do a little bit of trivia.
And we're going to Joe may throw in some little blurbs from the show, and we get a line here.
We might, because we have everything right here. So if we want to go over a scene, we could play it.
We can,
sounds and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be good. And maybe once in a while, we'll have some other crazy lunatic fan sit in and do an episode.
Like somebody like us who like actually looks for the mistakes.
Yes.
It comes to a point where you know everything so well that some things are mistakes. And we try to find out what they are, where they were, what were they supposed to say?
Was it supposed to be a mistake?
Well, who made the mistake? You know, you don't find out sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, Ed Norton, Art Carney is so good at his craft that, but he did make mistakes.
Once in a while.
He made a couple of mistakes once in a while.
Because they did film it live.
They filmed it live.
Yep.
That's the way it was back then.
Yep.
That's the way it was. And it wasn't as pristine as things are today.
Because
things back then were more acceptable. Because this is a new genre back then. It's new, we don't realize how new this was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was less than, basically, the first television shows were like 1948, 1949.
Yeah.
And so this was, and that's like the first couple ones, and then more and more people started getting because in 1956, 55, not every single person in America had television.
It's true.
That's crazy.
That's true.
We have a computer in our hand at any moment of the day, every second of the day. And there were times when when this show was on, not every house had a television. It started to pick up really quick in the mid-50s to late-50s.
Yeah.
But, that's that. And listen, that's what the show's all about.
Yeah.
So, that's it. We're just going to end it with that. Well, we're going to do one trivia question.
What would you like? Level one, level two, level three? We're going to put our trivia questions on levels. You know, like level one to be easy, what did Ralph do for a living?
And we all know. And it's not for anything. It'd just be a question.
Level three is going to be like, what's Ralph's blood type?
Right.
and people are like, what? Like, how do you know Ralph's blood type? Who's the doctor that took Ralph's blood?
All right, just for the first episode, because there's going to be a lot of people probably checking it out because they've never, they're like, why would you do a show about this? And maybe they're DEF CON 1 fans.
Okay, so
we'll do a two. One is too easy. I don't think anybody who's not a fan is going to be listening to
right,
this.
Right, so say like maybe, what was Uncle Leo's wife's name?
All right, very good.
So everybody go back and find that.
Yeah, or just think if you know it, and then episode number two, we'll give you the answer.
Give you the answer, and then we'll keep on going with trivia, and then you know we'll give you the answer at the end of the show because we want you to listen.
Beautiful. So the only thing we ask is if you enjoyed the episode, share it with your friends. If you're on iTunes, give it a rating if you want to comment on it, and just let people know. Hopefully we can get this into something really big and fun. And I also do another show.
I know two people are going to have fun doing it.
Yes.
You and me.
Exactly. Which is all that matters.
Right. We'll have two subscribers. Yeah. Again, you and me.
And we'll just do it over and over again. Until we know that every episode.
We'll be laughing.
Yeah. So, and also I do my other show. I do a podcast / radio show that I've been doing since like 1913. That nobody knows about, but it's called The Conti and Kenny Show. It airs on Monday nights at 7 o'clock on morelikeradio.com, but if you go to Conti and Kenny, or you just look for Conti and Kenny on Twitter or Facebook or on iTunes or wherever where you get your podcast, check that out too. It's a great show. It's me, Kenny Michaels, and Joey Image, two friends of mine, and we do a good show. So, all right. Honeymooners episode number one in the books. And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye, Mr. Crandon. I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you. Irving Kale and Sammy Fain, 1938.
Oh, Mr. Crandon, it's all over now.
It's all over now. Bassie Simon, 1927.
No, good night, Mr. Crandon.
Good night. There were two songs, good night. It was Good Night, Irene, written by Lomax and Ledbetter. Good Night, Sweetheart, written by Rudy Valley and Ray Noble.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.